Are we recording?
Yes, we are recording. You still there, weird?
Oh, wait. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I couldn't tell if it was you or me. It was my stupid. I was reading the article that you were.
Damn it, say
about.
The thing, weird.
And, hello, internet! All right, and actually, what I need is I need some silence on the. My browser, just at the exact time that it started recording, it started like playing an ad.
Oh,
it was kind of quaint music, so I kind of thought, is Alan doing something cute?
Nope.
It was penis enlargement, wasn't it?
I don't know what it was. It was some British dude. All right, guys, quiet on the set. We got to listen for this. Oh, didn't really make that good a noise.
What is it?
I just popped the top on a 40.
Oh.
Freedom. Awesome.
Is it Heffen Reffer?
Unfortunately, no. This is the champagne of beers.
You are the only person in this podcast that understands what Heffen Reffer is.
They don't make it anymore.
What?
Yeah.
Hassenpfeffer?
Hassenpfeffer is different.
No, Head not Hassenpfeffer. We're not eating the bunnies.
Head wrecker.
The Green Death. And I don't mean Jaeger or NyQuil. Heffen Reffer. Really cheap malt liquor only available in Massachusetts.
Purple Drank?
No, not Purple Drank.
It came in 32 and 64 ounce glass bottles, and it cost about $1.
Ooh.
And it was overpriced at that.
I don't know. The one I had just before they went under was not as bad as I remember. It was actually went down pretty good, the Heffen Reffer private stock.
Did you have it first or last?
What do you mean?
Was it the first thing you drank, or was it the last thing you drank?
The Heffen Reffer?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It was a four. It's a 40 ounce. That's
oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's pretty good for a holiday.
Okay. Well, I found a new drink, which is basically water with alcohol.
Awesome.
We call that vodka.
No, it's basically. Oh,
I saw that.
It's flavored seltzer with alcohol. It's actually pretty decent. It's 5% alcohol. And it's like 100 calories per bottle.
Nice.
It's good stuff. And it's very refreshing.
Nice.
Highly recommended.
And if you shotgun four of them, get right fucked up.
Yeah.
Brita, the trick is, since they're in glass bottles, right?
Correct.
Yeah. The trick is, what you do is you get yourself one of those little bendy straws.
Okay.
Put the bendy straw down the mouth and counterintuitively wrap your lips around the mouth of the bottle and let the bendy straw poke out of the side of your mouth.
What?
And then when you upend the bottle, you have an air return.
I get it.
And so it just goes straight down the throat.
He's trying to get you drunk, Brita.
Sounds like a bad date.
Or the start of a really good one.
That is how you shotgun a glass bottle or a plastic bottle.
Good to know. It's an educational show, yeah, right?
As opposed to poking a hole in the side of the can and then popping and then putting your lips around the hole and popping the top on a can.
Okay.
Governor.
Governor?
That's what that hole is called.
The governor?
It's your governor.
But it wouldn't be the governor because you drink out of that hole.
No, you don't. Well, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm thinking of a beer can.
Yeah.
Where the hole, it does become the governor because you crack it and then uncover the hole and.
Oh.
The whole beer goes down in about a second and a half.
Yeah. What beer makes it with the hole already in it?
I did not know that happened.
Well, no, I don't understand. Now I'm confused.
You make the hole with like a Swiss Army knife.
Yes. But you put your mouth around the hole and then you
pop. No, the regular pop top.
Yeah, but then you pop
the can upside down with your finger over the hole. Or you tip it upside down, you make the hole.
Okay.
James, far too civilized.
You do it the opposite way that I learned.
Yes.
I always learned you poke the hole.
Because you learned it in Maine, which is automatically.
And then as it starts hissing and fizzing, you put your mouth around the hole, tip your head up, and then pop the top and goodbye. It is a very similar action to flushing a toilet.
This must be guy stuff, because no one I know knows this
stuff. Because
women are
not this stupid, that's why.
Yeah, you know, I've never seen a woman woman hit the funnel.
Yeah.
It appears to be a dumb guy thing.
Yep.
So yeah,
I've never used the funnel.
I've never used the funnel either because I've seen other people do it and go, no, I'm generally opposed to things like drinking games and things like that, especially back when I was in college and was still an amateur drinker. And it's one of those, oh, so we're going to play that game and I can't control the amount of alcohol I'm drinking?
Yeah. Nope.
That sounds like a terrible idea. No, thank you.
Yeah.
Worst idea in the history of bad ideas. Bless you.
I almost
had a lovely singing voice that, you must
but
have.
But I'm drinking a 40. I think everyone should enjoy that.
Meanwhile, the cat's stuck to the wall.
So, how was everyone's Independence Day?
Very nice. My mom was born the day before.
Fireworks are illegal here in Massachusetts. What about Virginia, Ohio, and Texas?
In Ohio, they sell fireworks, but you can't use them. I'm not sure that's entirely true. But it's something confusing like that. Like, you can just buy them, but... Mike, let Mike answer. Can you buy fireworks in Ohio?
Yes, you can buy them. You just have to sign a release saying that you are taking them out of state.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Oh.
You can buy them, but you have to sign a release saying you're taking them out of state.
I got you.
And you will not blow them up in Ohio.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's even weirder than Maine. So
yeah,
Maine just recently legalized fireworks, but like a bunch of the major cities and towns declared themselves fireworks free.
Oh,
so therefore, like, I can buy fireworks now in Maine, but I cannot like set them off at my parents' house because that town is a no fireworks place, and so it'd be
What would happen if you did?
Probably the same as anywhere else. Nothing, unless I'm being like a total dickhead. Unless I'm like throwing them at moving cars
or setting your house on fire.
Yeah,
it's always problematic.
Yeah, or just like setting off like a bunch. Like I know my dad's a retired school teacher. He confiscated a firework from somebody at school. They were trying to set it off at a desk and he got to it first. And oh yeah, no, I get to set it off in the backyard. And yeah, there was no problem. I mean, except for the fact that my ears were ringing.
Yeah, Texas is kind of like that. It's always been legal, but cities, if you live inside of city limits, it's usually illegal to set them off. It doesn't mean people don't do it, but it's technically illegal. But every outside of the city, just outside the city limits of every city, is every fireworks stand known to man.
So how do those fireworks stands stay in business? Because like fireworks seem like one of those things that
they're
like
open twice a year.
Yeah. Are they just closed?
Yeah.
Most of the time?
Yeah. They open for like a week around New Year's and a week around the leading up to the 4th.
Okay.
And that's it. And they sell a lot.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, seeing that business model, I always see like the places in New Hampshire, but it's one of those, like, I own firearms. If I really want to make a loud noise, I can also practice my aim.
Yeah. Phantom fireworks is huge in New Hampshire. Like, you go to Seabrook, which is right over the
Massachusetts. And Maine now.
There's like four shops just on Route 1.
Oh, the Phantom Fireworks is the company that sells in Ohio.
Yeah. Yeah. They are like the Walmart of fireworks.
Right.
Cool.
One of the things they do down here, Virginia has, it's you can get like the lamer fireworks. It's like New Hampshire. You can get like the ground bursts and Roman candles and stuff like that, but you can't get mortars. You can't get firecrackers.
Oh, you can get all that stuff here. The only thing I really miss is bottle rockets, man. I miss bottle rockets.
Yeah.
You can't get them anymore?
No, they're illegal damn near everywhere.
Really? Yeah. Someone was setting them off yesterday.
No. The old Black Cat bottle rockets. You can still buy rockets on a stick, but they go. They're different. They're not bottle rockets.
Tell me about bottle rockets.
Okay. Do you remember? Okay, when I was a kid,
back in 1983,
it used to be the big thing was Black Cat bottle rockets. You know the Black Cat firecrackers?
Yes.
So a Black Cat bottle rocket is basically a Black Cat firecracker strapped to a little red stick with a hole poked in the back end of it and a fuse, and it goes boom, and they were notoriously unreliable.
Okay.
Like blow up in your hand unreliable. And it used to be a lot of fun, so we go down to like the lake and stuff and you shoot them into the water and they go, because they're self-contained, they'd shoot down in the water and go boom. Yep. And you see the flash in the water.
And then fish would float to the top.
No, it was never that strong. But they got a really bad reputation. And, you know, it was one of those witch hunt things where it's like a couple of, you know, and I don't know about the rest of the country, but in a lot of suburbia of Texas, they went through this really idiotic phase in the 70s and 80s where towns would mandate cedar shake roofs, which is like the most flammable thing known to man that you can put on a roof.
Thatched roof huts where they're going, damn.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like, okay, so I'm going to take this thing that's like impregnated by nature with flammable fluid and I'm going to put it on my roof.
What is he putting it on?
Cedar on roof. The roof.
Why are you putting it on your dog's vocal cords? All right. Alan talks funny. Drink.
So a few, you know, roofs caught on fire and burnt houses down and stuff like that. And all of a sudden you can't buy bottle rockets anymore. However, you still can buy the mortars and the big rockets and all that kind of stuff.
Right. The ones that can actually blow up your neighbor's car.
Right. And I guess the theory, I don't know. I mean, you know.
You know what it is? It's they cost so much that it
that's probably
really excludes the casual user.
Right.
Like, you got to be pretty serious about setting off fireworks if you're going to drop $75 on a rocket.
Yeah, but people do that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You should.
But it cuts way down. If you're talking $1.79 for a package of bottle rockets.
Right. Yeah, you used to buy like 100 bottle rockets for like a few bucks.
Oh, we used to, when I was a teenager, we would make the run to New Hampshire because we were only like half an hour from the border. And, you know, you'd get like 3 or 4 bricks of firecrackers. And do you remember Jumpin' Jacks?
Oh, yeah.
What were those? Spin around like crazy and quite often would launch themselves into like somebody's lap.
Yeah. Yep.
And bottle rockets. And actually, I don't think they sell Roman candles anymore. But you can get Roman candle. Yeah, Roman candle fights.
Oh, we bought some Roman candles not too long ago.
Stand on opposite sides of the field and shoot Roman candles at each other.
Fire Roman candles.
Yeah.
We actually went down to the bank of the Merrimack River. And lit bottle rockets off at boats.
Oh, yeah.
And we had one guy who
got another reason off. They're illegal.
Yes. Yeah, this is why they're illegal. We had one
it's
guy
all your
who,
fault.
He got all happy. He reached down into the boat and pulled out a Roman candle and started shooting back. It looked like Apocalypse Now.
Nice.
Just standing on the banks of the river, and all you could see is a little bottle rocket. It's like, pss, 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 pss.
Yep.
Pop, pop, pop.
Oh, it's too bad. It's too bad. I thought he was going to pull out one of those 12-gauge flare guns.
Yeah. No, he recognized that it was around the 4th of July, and they were teenagers, so.
It was. I was out to sea once on the 4th of July, and I'm just like, oh, you know what? This sucks. We're out here on the 4th of July, and there's nothing there, and the guy looks at me and goes, he was Polish. Oh, you know, I've got some expired flares. So we were shooting flares at seagulls. set off one of those smoke pots and just let it burn for a few minutes. Then just tossed it into the ocean and just watched the ocean burble out like green smoke. It was kind of kick ass.
Nice. So anyway, yeah, fireworks. And I live outside of this Houston city limit, so it was like a war zone here. It was. I had a really good fireworks show without spending a cent.
Yeah. So. Yeah. You don't have to go anywhere. That's the greatest part.
Yep.
My town does a very nice fireworks display. And I told my daughter, like, she was hitting the wall and I'm like, all right, you just need to go to sleep for a little bit, sweetie, so you can enjoy the fireworks, but I'll wake you up for the fireworks. You won't miss it. And like, meanwhile, everyone's waiting for the fireworks to start. So they're setting off all their bullshit. So, I mean, it sounds like a firing line in my neighborhood, and she's fast asleep. She's passed out. And I'm like, should I wake her up? My wife's like, yeah, you should wake her up. And so
never
I like
wake a sleeping child.
I jiggle her. I can't remember what I ended up doing, but like then her eyes popped open and she looked at me and I go,
Red Rum,
honey, do you want to go see the fireworks? Or do you want to go back to sleep? And she just said, she just nodded yes. And I just, and she is not a quiet child. I brought her upstairs and I had a chair set up on my balcony and we sat in the chair with her blanket over her. We watched the fireworks. And then on the night of the 5th, she said, are the Boom Booms going to wake me up again? No, sweetie, the Boom Booms aren't going to wake you up again. I want them to. Yeah. So yeah, she wants parades and fireworks every day.
Well, yeah, who doesn't?
Duh.
Yeah, that's a pretty good point.
Rita's mom's birthday is
the day before
the 3rd. So
yeah,
it's
4th of July is pretty busy for me. I've got the birthday and the 4th of July and the picnic and the cookout and
yeah. What'd you guys have?
We did bratwurst.
Nice.
And, you know, all the fixins, potato salad. And, oh, I wanted to mention, and this is a really quick and easy crock pot thing, but it's so friggin' good.
And it burns down your house.
And it does not burn down your house. Caramelizing onions in your crock pot.
Ooh.
You just take, like, Vidalia onions.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, whatever the sweet onion you can find. They're in season right now, so I use Vidalia. And you slice them up and you chuck them in the crock pot. The recipe I use asked for 3 cups, but I didn't really measure anything. I just kind of filled the crock pot. And then you add some butter and a little balsamic vinegar and some brown sugar. And you just mix it in and you turn it on low for like 6 to 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like... it's a beautiful onion experience. Really. I don't really particularly like onions, especially not raw. I don't like them. But this on bratwurst was really just gorgeous. It was so good and so easy. And I had sauerkraut and a bratwurst and caramelized onions, and it was so good. It didn't need mustard, nothing. Just really good.
I do. I'll often chop up just yellow onions and a little like cayenne pepper and a little salt and pepper and a little bit of oil and just fry them up in a cast iron skillet.
This is better.
And that is definitely a good sausage topping.
Bust out the crack pot. That
sounds even better. I may actually I've got a couple of Vidalias kicking around. We were going to throw them on the grill and I forgot to. And so
yeah, put them in the crack pot. They're so good and they caramelize up really really nice because you know they're cooking really low and slow. And it gives time, you know, for all the sugars to develop and caramelize. And yum!
Does a crock pot get all goopy from it? Like, is there burnt sugar on the?
Not any more than anything else, really.
Gotcha.
And then it burns down your house.
And it does not burn.
It doesn't either, Jay.
That's what it wants you to think.
How many times have you seen crock pot burns down somebody's house in the news?
Because I think it would be in the news. They don't tell you about it.
Oh,
it's the
crock pot won't let that news out.
Oh, the crock pot lobby, right?
You know, the National Crock Pot Association.
Yeah, those fuckers stole all the super delegates from Bernie Sanders.
They're responsible for Ebola
and super AIDS
and Zika. I don't know who's in charge of naming diseases, but we got to have a chat with them because Zika is just dumb.
Yeah.
Zika sounds like the latest Apple operating system. New Apple Zika.
It sounds like a hipster new wave revival band.
Or some stupid drink you get in a bar.
Oh, it does sound like that. Yeah.
Give me 3 Zikas.
Do they still make Zima?
No.
No. Okay, that's good.
Zima. Oh yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah, it wasn't too long ago that they finally quit, but it was one of those like I think it was like one of those, maybe we should quit.
It was just a malt liquor, right?
Clarified malt beverage. It's actually that's what all of those like twisted iced teas and hard lemonades and orange and all of those. And probably actually I'm not sure about your water.
Actually, I looked at the rest. I can't eat or drink or whatever, any malt, anything. Mm-hmm. But the alcohol is made from cane sugar.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just shine.
Yeah.
It's just a bottle of grog.
Yes.
So, but yeah, so all of those things are essentially it's they make a probably like the shittiest like malt liquor known to man, with just the cheapest crap they can get. And then they filter it through active charcoal, and that pulls out like all of the color and all the flavor.
Oh.
And then they can just do whatever they want with it. So they color it how they want. They make it taste like lemonade. They make it taste like iced tea. They make it taste don't. Like.
Yeah. It tastes like none of those things.
Vaguely reminiscent of lemonade.
Nasty stuff.
But yeah, that sort of stuff. And then, again, drop the drinking straw into the neck of the bottle.
I will never try that.
Yeah, I don't think I will either.
You'll think about it.
I'm way not coordinated enough. I would drown myself.
Sounds like something really close to like what's that water torture they did to people?
Waterboarding,
yeah, it sounds like that.
Which is not the same as motorboating. I'm just saying.
Kind of close though. Especially if the lady's endowed. And
she has a grant for art?
What?
You're so weird.
What?
Endowed. She has a grant so she can...
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That's
awful. One drink. You've got a drink for that one.
Really?
Is there a drinking game for Jay's dad jokes?
Yes.
Oh, okay, good.
It's one of the things.
It's one of the many.
You're the master at horrible dad jokes.
I strive to be an artisan in my own craft. And that craft is bad jokes.
Well, you succeed.
Well, thank you.
Hey, don't Jay. Remind me. There was some sort of tick that I said, and I'm like, I didn't know I said that too much. And so I'm like, oh, now I'm going to think about it every time I say it now. And I'm like, oh, wait, I forgot. So now I don't worry about it.
There you go.
I can look it up.
Please don't.
Hey, Jay.
Yeah.
You want to tell us about your death threat?
Apparently some adjunct professor to a community college, actually in Breeda's neck of the woods.
Oh, do I have to hunt them down?
I'm not going to tell you to, but...
How dare they threaten you?
I think the cops are taking care of that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he complained that he's being investigated by federal authorities. Well, guess what, dumbass? Gee. Let me see.
It was not a specific threat directed at JG.
No. It was not directed to me.
It was a more general threat directed toward the NRA and the NRA headquarters.
To protest gun violence, let's all get guns and go kill everyone at the NRA.
That strikes me as
non sequitur. I mean,
you know,
that makes no sense.
Actually, not really. It's kind of like, you know, how does the saying go? You know,
burn the village to save it.
Then in trying to challenge my enemy, I became him, or you know the one I'm talking about? Is like anyone that goes like super duper, like hardcore, like true believer, you know, fanatic against something. Like, so to go goofy, let's think about Batman. Batman is super duper fanatical against stopping crime. So much that he didn't become a police officer. He didn't, you know... Didn't, you know, use Wayne Enterprises to fund the police so that they could put out more patrols to stop criminals. No, he becomes a vigilante. And really, you know, everyone, you know, if you think about it, like every, you know, in the comic book sense, oh, it's Batman, he's the good guy, and all the comics are done by his point of view. But imagine if we were just like regular old people in Gotham City, and there was some dude dressing up in a black outfit running around at night and like rounding people up without, you know, and harming, killing, and arresting them without trials, without convictions, without evidence sort of idea. I mean, we had those fucking dipshit like costume vigilantes a few years ago. That was like a fad that thankfully
died off quick.
Yeah, because I mean, most of them got thrown into fucking jail because, again,
my guess is some of them got knifed too.
Weird, you just did it, by the way.
What's that?
Your verbal tick.
Is a verbal tick?
All right, tell me.
It's whenever you say sort of thing or sort of blah blah or sort of. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he did.
He did.
Eric, you're such a nice guy, but I fucking hate you.
Drink.
Okay. But yeah, it's that sort of thing. God damn it. Everybody drink. Let's get hammered.
Well, the show is our 200th show, so it's kind of a celebration.
Oh, that's true.
200 shows.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's like forever in internet years.
How many shows do we have for the other show?
120.
Woohoo!
120?
Wow.
Yeah, it was 100. We stopped after 120.
Nice.
God damn.
And at least one of those was never aired or never released.
At least one.
Yeah, at least one.
There were other ones like you lost and didn't post. And
well, yeah, but there was one I specifically didn't post on purpose.
Okay.
Oh, which one was that one?
I don't remember.
It
doesn't, remember it there doesn't the, exist.
There was a good one with Gay Cynic that where he was talking about the what was it, that gay nightclub in New York that the cops raided.
Oh, the Stone.
Yeah, Stonewall Inn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if he talked about it on the last show, but I'm pretty sure he was on the last episode.
Oh yeah. Specifically the one where he talked about like the Stonewall Inn and how gays are such, you know, such raging liberals and went through all that. And I just like, I remember being like, well, of course it's Vicious Circle. So I was drunk. And so I'm like, oh man, this is going to be actually a good one to re-listen to because I am not following any of this. And of course, Alan forgot to record it.
Oh, was that one of the ones I forgot to record?
That was one of the ones you forgot to record.
Alan forgot to record. Drink.
Well, we had a good time.
Yeah.
We had a good time.
It was great. Yeah, there were a couple of those that didn't get recorded for whatever reason. It didn't work.
Alan forgot.
Alcoholism.
Yeah.
Cirrhosis.
I don't know. Sometimes it just doesn't work.
Oh, good times.
That's what she said.
But you know what? We got a couple of audio messages from a couple of listeners.
We got
you
mail?
Know what? I wanted to mention before you play them. We have two messages, right?
Yes, two.
Now the people that we got these messages from are kind of repeat callers back when we were taking calls, and to the point where I kind of felt like they were characters in our show.
Characters. They're characters, kind of like, all right.
Kind of like, what's that show? Cheers. And then you've got Norm and the other guy. And like, you Cliffy. Got this one. And it's kind of, that's kind of how the whole thing felt. And I have to say that I'm so glad that they sent in messages for us because I've missed them as characters on our show.
They're characters, all
right. So go ahead, Alan.
Okay. So the first one's from MDev.
Yay!
MDev!
Who that?
Good evening, Alan and Brita and Jay and Weird, or whoever happens to be showing up tonight. But it's episode 200, so you all better be there. Because it's important. It's a milestone. It's numerically important to someone, somewhere, deep in China. They've been waiting for episode 200. Anyway, congratulations. Have a great day and keep up the good work. You guys put on an excellent show essentially every week. Goodbye from MDev.
Essentially every week.
Essentially every week.
Good evening, squirrels. Congratulations on your 200.
Wait, stop. Yeah, all right. Go back.
Yeah, I'll
I like how we talk over them even when they send in recorded
Yes. Well, it wouldn't be the score report. Yeah. Talk over them. So the next one's by Hayden, who's,
if you didn't figure that out already,
yeah, our British listener.
He's a spy.
Who actually works? He spends a lot of time in the U.S., so he's not.
You know. He's a spy. It's okay. He's our spy.
For the Queen.
Spy. Yeah.
Spy for the Queen.
You don't think he plays our show for the Queen, do you?
Oh my God!
Wait, yeah, Jay, do you know where I bumped into Hayden at the NRA show?
Ogling the little girl, the baby.
Yes,
I'm not going to name. I know her name. I'm not going to name her because
the little squirrel.
Little squirrel. Yes, baby squirrel. Thank you.
But yeah, I bumped into Hayden at the Walther booth. He is a spy. You're right.
That's it.
He's an international man of mystery.
He kind of is. All right, so anyway, this is Hayden.
Congratulations on your 200th episode. This is Hayden. Since the phone lines are no longer, I wanted to let you know I have had so much pleasure and enjoyment from your show and your personalities in both my headphones and real life. I came across your show on an iTunes recommendation, and I am so glad I did. There have been so very many enjoyable recordings. A couple of recordings that are notable in my memory was one show that gave me a physical chuckle as you recounted the story as hosts going groundhog hunting with an AR-15 and the pests getting turned inside out as they poked their little heads above ground. As my job role of a forensic examiner, I was in my lab when I was listening to that show. My colleagues asked me what I was chuckling at, and I had a real, do I say or don't I say moment. I have since introduced them to the Squirrel Report, and we enjoy our Friday mornings so much more. Another show recording moment that I've notably enjoyed, partly because it has taught me something that I've then gone forward and shared with other people since, was Breeder's recipe for Portuguese or Brazilian cheese bread. Breeder gave me instructions on how to make it with tapioca flour instead of wheat flour. Highly recommended for you, the listener. This recipe for bread has been made for and then re-requested at parties and social events I've attended. I'm going to start to wrap up this audio so you can get back to the show this evening. I want to say thank you for the political and social commentary you all contribute. The Squirrel Report is a genuine escape from the consistentness of crap and nonsense that is the mainstream media. In some ways, I've considered the Squirrel Report to have made a positive social and anthropological contribution to my life as a British gentleman in America. I've been very lucky to meet Jay and Weird and have been invited to now 2 blog shoots. I know not all your audience have been as lucky as I have. Congratulations on 200 shows. Thank you for the wit, the wisdom, and most importantly, the time and effort you all give for what is selflessly my own entertainment. Thank you. Good evening and good night.
I feel like we just listened to Winston Churchill.
I felt like Masterpiece Theater, maybe, or
Alistair Cook.
The first time I heard that, I was like, what show is he talking about?
I know.
Hayden is damn lucky he's already married, because he'd be in deep shit otherwise.
I know. Thank you for classing up the joint, Hayden.
Yeah, no kidding. Thanks a lot, Hayden. He talks. That was really great.
He talks funny.
Yeah, I'm very touched, because I always, you know, he's saying that we're like an escape from the crap and nonsense of the mainstream media, and I'm like, well, we're a lot of crap and nonsense.
Yes, that's mostly what we are, is crap and nonsense.
I think thank you so much.
The hilariousness of it was as you saying that, I was taking a pull off of a 40-ounce beer.
Crap and nonsense.
And I'm just wearing a tank top in my basement. So yeah.
But then I thought to myself, you know, Hayden, and I know this isn't true because I know Hayden is a very genuinely warm and charming man, and he would be, you know, he wouldn't, you know, put us on or anything. But I'm thinking to myself, you know, if he could say anything in that accent, and totally punk us, and we would be like nodding along, like, yay, yes, yay, yes, you know, but maybe he's being sarcastic the whole time. We would know.
Yeah, he's going to turn around in his lab and go, can you fucking believe those dudes?
He absolutely is not. I know Hayden is a genuinely wonderful man.
Absolutely is.
But thank you. I know not everybody, I mean, we had two recordings sent in, but I know a lot of people listen to us every week.
Right.
For 200 shows, thank you so much. I can never quit. When do we end?
I can't quit you, man.
I can't quit this now.
But to be fair, I think this is kind of a new tradition. I think we should encourage people to send short.
I know. Short clips. I think it'd be like, fun.
It'd be great. You can send whatever you want. We'll play.
Yeah. It's like two minutes or less, and
we're not that picky. Oh no. 10, 20 minutes.
Go to the bathroom.
Yeah, really. whatever you want.
It's like the disc jockey putting on the live version of Kashmir. It's like, oh, I'm going out to lunch. Hold on.
Alan might cut you off in the middle, but you know,
and or we may make fun of you. So,
well, you know, it is the squirrel report.
It'd be like kicking a puppy.
How long is Kashmir?
The live version's like at least 27.
It's like one side of an LP.
Yep, because there's Inagata De Vita has a long version, doesn't it?
Inagata De Vita, they actually made a special short version because radio stations refused to play it because it was too damn long.
I don't recall it being that particularly good a song to begin with.
It's not.
No,
I don't see how like adding an extra 25 minutes would improve it.
Well, you're also not stoned.
Yeah.
And living in 1968.
That is true. But if I was living in 1968, I probably would be stoned.
Yeah, you probably would be.
No, you actually wouldn't have been born yet.
Well, if I was living, Jesus Christ, Jay, English, do you speak it? So did Alan? Did you? And I made pulled pork in the crock pot.
And burn your house down.
I did not burn my house down, and I was going to make some chicken wings. That was going to be my like start of the party appetizers, and I opened up the package, which let's say I got on extremely deep discount at the grocery store and opened up the package and went, oh, nope, those are going out in the garbage. But I had planned to make chicken fingers for picky kids. And number one, it turned out I thawed way too many chicken breasts because when I got those things pounded out and cut down, like it was a fucking ton of chicken. And so instead that was also the apps. Actually, it turned out the kids were all into the burgers and dogs and everybody else was eating other food. Burgers and dogs was the mundane food.
Monday food?
Mundane.
I made burgers on the 4th. On the grill.
And AR-15 rifles.
That's right. Alana and I went to the range and on the Saturday. It wasn't on the 4th, but it was on Saturday. And she shot her rifle for the first time. Awesome. And she did damn good. She obliterated the center of the target.
Nice.
It was nothing but a ragged hole. So.
And people wonder why people buy AR-15s.
I was very proud of her. She was a little nervous.
She didn't get PTSD?
No, she was a little nervous at first. And she was a little, you know, because all she fired before was a little, you know, single shot 22. And she was a little nervous and she was kind of, you know, hesitant. So I put one round in the magazine, loaded it for her and said, don't worry about, you know, put the red dot in the target, but don't worry about where you're going to hit. Just pull the trigger and see how it feels. And she did. So I put another one in and she, you know, I put like maybe 10 or 15 in for her. And then she did the rest by herself. And then, you know, by the end of the, you know, 30 minutes or so, she was shooting, you know, full magazines and didn't want to quit. So
you handed your daughter the equivalent of a bazooka. What kind of man are you?
She loved it. And she was, it was so funny because she'd shoot a shot and then she'd look through the spotting scope to see where it hit. Because she was very concerned about hitting the center.
But, by the way, you should make her read that Gersh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Name is Kuntzman.
And this is a 300 blackout, isn't it?
Well, she did shoot the 300 blackout, but this her rifle is a 5.56. It's Yeah, it's a standard AR. But she did shoot the 300, and she said it was a little, kicked a little more, but.
Was she using subsonic or supersonic?
For what?
The 300 blackout.
Supersonic.
Subsonic 5.56. That's
they make them.
They do.
It's called 22 long rifle.
And I did take the SBR out and shot it, and it was very nice. I don't have the can for it yet, but it was funny because there's a big difference between the supersonic and the subsonic. even with a 10.5-inch barrel, the subsonic is not nearly as loud, obviously. But it seems to kick a little more because it's like the bullet's massive.
Well, the bullet is bigger than the case.
Yeah, damn near.
No, it literally is.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. The 240, 230.
Yeah, something like that. It was well over 230 grain.
It is literally, if you, I've seen pictures of the case, like before it's been loaded up, and the case sitting beside the bullet, and the bullet is like 3 or 4 millimeters longer than the case.
Did not realize that.
Oh, it's gigantic.
And it also hits about 2 inches low, lower than really? The supersonic.
At what distance?
Like 25 yards.
Oh, okay. Well,
red dot scopes that are specifically designed for 300 blackout that have a supersonic and subsonic reticle.
Yep.
You getting one?
Yeah, I was going to say I'd heard it was a lot more severe than that, but at 100 yards, which makes sense.
Well, it is a lot more severe at 100 yards, but you know, still. I don't think you have to
take it into account. That's the only thing.
Yeah, I have a BDC reticle on a red dot on the AR on the regular 5.56, but without a magnifier in front of it, you really can't see it.
Right.
At least with my eyes, it's just it's just too small. So I think. You know, and my intention with the 300 is, you know, I'm not going to shoot anything that far anyway, so.
Anyway. Understandable.
Anyway. Well,
good times.
I was very proud of my daughter. She did good.
You do need to make her read that article, though. Not even a joke.
Yeah, I'll find it for her. She'll laugh. Because she was like, after she shot it a lot, and they called a ceasefire, and they were going to change targets, and I was asking her, do you want to, you know, you want to shoot some more? You done? Because we'd been out there for like 2 hours at this point. And she was like, my shoulder's a little sore. I don't think I want to shoot anymore. So.
How dare you make me shoot this bazooka, Dad?
But she, you know, she shot a lot.
By the way, the line that I always use for like the taking out like a very, very minty new shooter to the range is, I will say, just so you know, there is nothing that I have brought in all of the guns that I've brought, because I usually bring a pretty wide selection. We usually don't shoot just one thing. We usually go down around and then figure out what they like, and whatever they figure out they like, we shoot that the most. Yeah. But I'll say, there's nothing in here you can't handle.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like I'm not going to, I mean, technically speaking, the LCR 357 isn't actually that bad. It's like, it is not even the same gun as yours, Jay. but yeah, it's but I was just, you know, I'm always bringing, you know, I'll bring like a full size all steel 357, because, you know, everyone wants to shoot a Magnum, but it's like, that's not that bad. Like, if you got good form, anyone can handle that. So I always just say, no, there's nothing here you can't handle. Like, you shouldn't worry about any of that stuff. Just pay attention to what you're doing, and that's all we need to worry about.
He's taking another pull. Drink.
Yep.
All
right. So what else we got?
I think it's too late to talk about the news.
I don't want to talk about
the news. The news is depressing.
It's all bullshit anyway. Lies and bullshit.
It is making it a lot easier to vote for Gary Johnson, I must say. It's even though he is running a considerably worse campaign than he did 4 years ago, it still feels a whole lot better than voting for either of those fucking dipshits.
Well, yeah, I've decided I think I'm going to vote for him, Johnson.
You're going to feel the Johnson.
Yeah.
And his VP, Bill Weld.
I mean, it's
well, you know what? It's weird listening. Because I live in Ohio. My vote really counts. Like, I live in a swing state. I live in a swing county. I live in a swing city. You know, we're pretty divided here, and my vote really counts. And
I was talking, my parents were down today, and I was talking to my dad about it. And of course, my dad's a, you know, dyed-in-the-wool Democrat, he'll vote for it. I mean, it's one of those like I was thinking about the, you know what? Part of me really hopes Hillary will win just so he can fucking sit in it. But, you know, he's Barack Obama can do no wrong as far as he's concerned. Like,
he
just there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, man, because, you know, go team.
Yeah. Well, that's what it has boiled down to that now. Go team.
It is. It's the same reason why like, my dad roots for the Patriots. Why does he root for the Patriots?
Exactly.
Because that's the team that represents Maine.
Yep. Right.
What? I mean, it's just one of those like why wouldn't you look at all the other teams first and then decide which team you're rooting for?
And the parties know this. And so they try to divide people by teams now. I mean, you've got the minorities, they always try to get minorities going one way or the other and women going one way or the other. And it's a team. It's not even a team mentality. It's more like a tribal thing now.
Yeah, purely.
And it's weird. I don't even understand it.
But the big thing is my dad was going on in some, you know, goofy bit about like the, no, man, if you vote for Gary Johnson, that's really putting a vote in for the other person and all that. And I said, you know, and he said to me, he said, you know, but all right, let's say there's no Gary Johnson. Who would you vote for then? And I'm like, I wouldn't vote.
Yeah.
If it's between Trump and Hillary, honestly speaking, no, I'm not going to play that game.
Yeah.
And that's exactly it is. No, is anybody who, I mean, seeing what we've seen with this whole, you know, completely corrupt FBI thing. I mean, I gotta say, it is one of those like, holy shit, I want, can we get Martha Stewart on? Can we still take guests? Because I want to hear what Martha Stewart has to say with the fact that in public record, like just the shit that you can just grab on YouTube right now, Hillary has done more than what she got sent to prison for.
Yep.
I mean, she has lied to the FBI and she has obstructed justice. She told the FBI a whole lot of fucking bullshit about, oh, I was only doing it this way and I only had the one phone and I just thought it would be easier. And this is my husband's server and, you know, all of this stuff. And none of that was true. And, oh, yeah, no, I turned everything in. No, you didn't. There was tons and tons and tons of emails that were absolutely germane to the investigation that they later found.
And a whole bunch more that were deleted and wiped out and will never be seen unless the Russians cough them up.
Yes. And there's all that. But I mean, even that, like what she's deleted isn't public record. That's there.
Well,
let's just say that
you've heard of Chelsea Manning, right?
Bradley Manning,
Chelsea. Now, Chelsea
Manning. That thing.
Yeah. Yes. Not being a wise guy.
Yes. You know,
when the news happened, it was Bradley.
Yes, Bradley Manning, yeah.
Yes.
In prison for 35 years. Uh-huh. For leaking classified or unclassified sensitive military and diplomatic documents. Mm-hmm. Okay, it was an intentional leak. But it's like the same... I don't know. It's like manslaughter versus murder, right? Mm-hmm. You can kill somebody unintentionally, but you're still going to jail because you killed them.
Well, and in fact, the federal law does not require intent.
Oh, well, okay then.
And let's also go through this. Let's just say this was not Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, you know, leader of the Clinton crime family.
Right.
This was Joe Blow summer internship political science major from, you know, from Brown University who ended up, you know, leaving their smartphone on the subway, riding back to their DC flat at the end of the day that was loaded with top secret information. It was one of those like, no, he didn't intend to do it. He lost his phone in the process of it, but no, his shit never should have been on that shit never should have been on the phone in the first place. And no, it should never have been on the subway. And no, he should never have left it on the subway. That person maybe might avoid criminal charges, but would be immediately fired from that and would be blacklisted from any government employment ever for the rest of their life.
Yeah, like, they permanently lose their security clearance.
Exactly. Permanently lose their security clearance and would just have just a black mark that, like, even if they were, it was a, you know, they went to apply to work at the fucking DMV in Massachusetts, they would get a flag that said, you know what, better not. And yet this woman now who's done all this stuff, I mean, it's, there's no disputing it, wants to be president. And people think that it's perfectly fine for her to continue to pursue this job.
Well, the newspapers are already, if they talk about it at all, they're calling it exonerated.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, this was a whole waste. This was just a Republican conspiracy. It's a big waste of time for no reason at all. And if any of her voters even hear of it, which they probably won't, they won't care.
Oh, I've already seen a whole bunch of people say, oh, the Republicans spent $7 million and got nothing out of it. Really? So you admit then that Ronald Reagan was blameless in Iran-Contra because he didn't go to jail. And you get crickets.
Yep. Yeah, and the invasion of Iraq was perfectly justified.
Actually, the people you're talking to don't even know what the fuck that is.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah. Some of them do. They still have a visceral hatred of Ronald Reagan.
And the invasion of the Iraq War and Chippy McBush Hitler lying about weapons of mass destruction so that he could, I don't know what the full story behind that fucking narrative is.
General Petraeus.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
He leaked classified information to his mistress.
Yep.
Who had top secret clearance.
Right.
So I mean, that's the only plus I can see for voting for Trump, is the media will actually care what the president does. It's the only upside.
Well, to be fair, Gary Johnson would get that same effect.
Yes, he would.
Gary Johnson has as much chance of winning as I do.
I understand that.
I mean, let's be honest.
I've got to wonder though. With all the bullshit on both sides, I wonder just how many people are. I mean, I remember my old boss, like in what was that? That was back in 2008. Voted for Bob Barr. She had no fucking clue who Bob Barr was. Like, didn't even get like the dirty little joke about like this like former drug czar claiming to be a. A libertarian was running for president sort of idea. But she just like was like looking at the fucking bullshit and just went, you know what? I'm going to vote for like going, don't want to vote for that one. Don't want to vote for that one. Don't even know who the fuck that one is. Check. I kind of wonder like just how much of that there's going to be. Not I mean, enough. It's again,
not 50%.
Enough. Yeah.
No,
if,
not
if 50%. Johnson gets more than 10%, I'd be shocked.
Yeah, but if he's going to do it, this is the year to do it.
I will be absolutely shocked. The problem is, I mean, between picking Weld and saying, oh, Hillary's innocent, he's really not doing the things he needs to do.
It's true.
You know, and believe me, I want to like Johnson. I want this to be the year the Libertarian Party makes it possible that maybe a third party is viable. And they're fucking strapping on the clown shoes just like everyone else. They're like, we got our shot. Quick, shoot ourselves in the feet.
Yeah, they've been
paying. Who do we need to represent liberty? Bill Weld.
They've been paying too much attention to the GOP in the, you know.
In what, on what planet is Bill Weld the libertarian idol?
Yeah.
Bill Weld? Really? That's the best you could do.
Yep.
Again, I don't like Trump. I don't support Trump. I oppose Hillary Clinton, and he is the best shot at opposing her. And that's, you know, it's infuriating that I have to even think that way, but that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And what's happened this week has not changed that at all. And for everyone saying, you know, oh, voting for Trump is just as bad, no, it's not.
It's not. As someone Donald who is... Trump
has not who, thumbed his nose go. At the American judicial system and taken a shit on the fucking Constitution. Mm-hmm. When he does that...
Yet.
Yet, exactly. But we know Hillary has, and we know she will continue to do so. She is above the law.
Mm-hmm.
is, not thinks she is, yeah. is above
yes.
the law. Yeah, I mean, that is definitely the most terrifying thing on there. Is
you know,
that,
and
yes, is she Trump is here. She is above the law. She is pulling strings. She is manipulating stuff. I mean, there's the whole business about the, oh, you know, she was interviewed and, you know, at a time convenient to her, and we didn't record the interview, and she wasn't Oops. Under oath, and nah, you know what? She's fine. We're not gonna press charges.
Yeah,
sort of idea. It's just one of those.
We want to reward her with more power. That's
exactly.
Insane.
You're gonna reward her with more power. Give her more classified information. I mean, let alone just, I mean, look at her wonderful success rate. I mean, she's was the wife of a president. She was the senator of a state she never lived in. I mean, when did she buy her house in Chappaqua before, you know, how long was it before the election that she bought that house in Chappaqua? Was it more than a year?
I don't think so.
I don't think it was even a full year. I think it was whatever the barest minimum was. She looked around the map and saw, all right, where can I easily get an uncontested seat? Went, bought a house there in whatever the minimum amount of time needed, and ran on her name in a district that completely fucking worships her, and won easily, and then served one term there, didn't even go for re-election, and was or didn't even serve a full term, and then was Secretary of State, where she did disaster and mayhem and mishandled top secret information, and now let's hand her the keys.
You know what? One of the most chilling things for me, listening to the statement by what is his name, Comey. Was after he ran down this litany of, you know, all the things that she, yes, is guilty of. He says, to be clear, this is not to suggest that in similar circumstances, a person who engaged in this activity would face no consequences. To the contrary, those individuals are often subject to security or administrative sanctions. But that is not what we are deciding now.
In other words, don't step out of line, peasant.
Right.
That's what that says. Don't you serfs get uppity.
So, but that, when he says, but that is not what we are deciding now. What are we deciding exactly? That bothered me. Like, what was it that we are deciding now? We are deciding that there is a certain class of people who is above the law.
Yep.
To make a callback to it, to a very famous joke, the aristocrats.
Exactly. Oh my God. Now there's a mental image.
That was worth it.
Oh, man.
And on that note.
So I got one more thing.
Yeah.
Do you think that the number of Bernie supporters who claim that they won't vote for Hillary is more greater or less than the number of normal Republicans that refuse to vote for Trump?
Less.
And will it make a difference?
It's less because the Bernie supporters will vote for Hillary 99%.
Yeah, that's what I think.
I guarantee you.
Yeah. They'll vote Democrat no matter what.
Because the thing is, nobody else is promising to give them everything.
Right.
Yes, but maybe they'll stay home.
And that, but that's not what Alan asked.
Right. Okay.
You may see a bunch of them stay home, and that may help.
A bunch of them may not have voted for Bernie in the first place. They might have got so fucking no. And what I mean is the huge hardcore Bernie supporters might have gotten so fucked up on a Monday night that Tuesday came and went. Anyway. It's not like they work. Right. It's not like they're like, you know what? It's Monday night. You know, I gotta take it a little bit easy because I gotta get into the Starbucks at, you know, 9 tomorrow to start my shift. No, you see a Bernie Sanders starting there. That is not someone who's ever punched a clock.
Well, Bernie Sanders didn't hold a real job till he was in his 40s,
and still did. 40.
Yeah,
and still was just suckling at the government's teat.
Right.
Yes. Exactly. And that's, and that, I think there was a demographic search that found that, yeah, no, most of the Bernie Sanders, like a huge portion of the Bernie Sanders supporters are not employed and have not been employed.
Well, most of them are under 25.
Yeah. Which is a key demographic of too fucked up to vote.
Right.
I was going to vote, but I was too drunk to vote.
If you've ever been too drunk to vote, you might be a Bernie Sanders supporter.
It's true. Good callback, Jay.
Oh, boy. Well, but yeah. Yeah. We've got the Wicked Witch of the West and one of the Oompa Loompas running for president. What the hell?
Yep. It is in times.
You know?
Nah, we've had worse.
I mean, yeah.
We've had worse.
Yeah, we had Jimmy Carter.
The end of the world.
No, we'll survive.
Speaking of Jimmy Carter, did you see, like, on the exact same day that the FBI essentially said we're backing away from the investigation of Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama came out and started stumping for Hillary? Which,
oh, yeah.
Was that not, like, so fucking tone deaf and disgusting?
It was planned.
It was planned. Absolutely planned. Yeah, for weeks ahead of time, which is another scary thing. But Obama said that no one has ever been more qualified to be president than Hillary Clinton.
Well, she's more qualified than he was.
It's absolutely more. That is
so weird. What's your point?
Yeah. Well, and you know what got me thinking about it is, do you know who was someone who was a really well qualified person to be president, who had a really fucking good resume to be president? Let's see. They were a small business owner. Military veteran, highly educated. Let's see. And then they were the governor of a state. And so they had the executive experience, and then they became president.
Hmm.
That would be James Earl Carter.
He was the captain of a nuclear submarine. So
was he a captain?
Yeah.
I thought he was just an engineer.
I know he was in the Navy.
And he was definitely a submariner.
He was a nuclear engineer also.
He's a bubblehead.
I don't know if he was actually a captain of one.
Yeah.
I thought
but again,
he was in command.
Jimmy Carter's resume is fucking brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it is a really
apparently there's a James Carter who's a saxophonist.
Well, that's good to know. There's a James Carter in the Blind Boys of Alabama. Jimmy Carter has a ridiculously good resume and was a fucking shit-tastic president.
Was awful. No, he wasn't ever a captain.
Yeah.
No. All right, never mind.
He was retired reserve at the rank of lieutenant.
But he was
Tried to help you, Jimmy.
Yep.
Yeah.
But again, that's a brilliant
resume. Alan, you can edit that part out, right?
What?
Yes. Yeah, we're going to edit that out.
We're editing shit out. Own it. Yeah. But that's the thing is being smart don't necessarily make you a good president. And being stupid doesn't necessarily make you a bad one.
Well, more of just the having a good resume doesn't necessarily mean you're smart.
Right. Well, if you want to go, there are a lot of different ways you can define good president.
You know who the best president was? William Henry Harrison. Best president.
died 30 days after his inaugural speech.
Exactly.
He was too sick for the entire time to
serve. Exactly. He didn't take away any liberties. He didn't fuck anything up. And he had the good presence of mind to die quickly.
Yeah. I don't, you know, if you want to look at best but in the terms of most conniving and ruthless, I'm going to go with LBJ. That you want to talk about somebody that was, you know, maybe he was not the most, he was not the smartest president in anybody's book as far as education. But he was
definitely the most repugnant, and that's even going against Bill.
Yeah. He used to call people worse than Bill.
He used to dress people down while he was sitting on the shitter.
Oh yeah.
And I heard he used to whip out Jan Hogg and take a piss on the floor in front of secretaries.
Oh yeah. That's documented.
That's bad for the hardwood.
Yeah, he didn't care.
Yeah. Also, the other thing about LBJ was not giving a fuck.
Yep.
Look at this sandbox. This is the field where I grow all the fucks I give.
But he was also smart enough not to run for re-election.
Yeah,
it's true.
So all of the Vietnam disaster that was his fault, you know, and to some extent Kennedy's, landed right into Nixon's lap. And Johnson was prescient enough to say, "Oh yeah, not going there."
This is going south quickly.
Yeah, I'll get out while I can. Anyway, history lesson. See, we're educational.
History lesson.
The more you know.
That's right.
I just made the little rainbow sign, even though nobody can see
it. Hey, Alan.
Yes, we are.
You being the senior member of the Squirrel Report. The grand adulted, steely-haired member of the Squirrel Report.
My hair is grayer than Alan's.
Yeah, but you're the youngest one here.
No, Weird is younger than I am.
Not according to Jay.
I'll take it.
Rita can't be more than 28.
Thank you, Jay.
But Alan, what would you think was the worst presidential election?
Well, there have been a lot of really crappy ones. There was one, and I'm drawing a blank on the year, but there was one, I think it was in Chicago, the Democrats had, where they literally could not pick a candidate. And they went through like hundreds of votes in the convention and couldn't pick a candidate. And they were the press was making fun of them for not being able to pick a candidate. And they wound up picking some shitty person nobody ever heard of and losing handily.
George McGovern.
No, it wasn't George McGovern. But, you know, there's
been... Was that where Dewey came from?
No. There have been a lot of really crappy elections with a lot of really crappy candidates. And, you know, we managed to survive. So I'm not that concerned. This is not... You know, I hear all kinds of crap. You see people bleeding on the internet about, oh, this is the most important election ever. Bullshit.
No.
This election will mean the end of the country. No, it won't.
I mean, that's especially like the gun people talking about the, all right, look, I get it. Like, you know, Trump's probably not great on guns and all that, but Hillary's going to fill at least one, probably three, you know, up to three Supreme Court seats. You know, I'd much rather have Trump fill those seats. And honestly speaking, I don't fucking care. Cause again, on the gun issue, the other side hasn't done shit in the courts.
No, they haven't.
There are no anti-gun court rulings. I mean, even the court rulings that the anti-gunners cite aren't in their favor.
Right. Didn't we just had one where they ruled machine guns were not protected?
No, they did not rule that. They just refused to rule.
Yeah.
They sent it back to the previous court.
And essentially they have entirely been doing it through just good old-fashioned politics. And let's face it, we can beat them because, I mean, number one, all we got to do is wait like 10 years. Look at any anti-gun protest. Jay, you just need to look out the window of your office and note that in 10 years, most of those people are going to be dead or too sick to protest or try to ruin our thing. I mean, it's gun control is entirely in the hands of the baby boomers. You know, the baby boomers and like people too fucking young to vote who are too stupid to read. And, once they grow up and get a couple of paychecks, they're going to and see how much the government takes from it. They're going to quickly go, you know, what else is wrong here? Tell me more about this gun stuff. But I mean, either way is one of those like. I honestly think, why are we not talking about just having a constitutional convention?
We are.
Why aren't we organizing a constitutional convention?
The governor of Texas has called for one.
Okay. And
that guy.
He's asked for a bill in this upcoming legislative session to authorize Texas to call for a constitutional convention.
And for the purpose of discussing,
oh, he has a list. There, it's you can look it up. It's all pretty good stuff.
I don't even know the procedure. I mean, I remember studying.
When enough states, I can't remember whether it's 2/3 or 3/4, but when enough states vote to call for a constitutional convention, you have one, and then it's like the original constitutional convention. They all get together and they come up with a bunch of, you know, amendments, and they either pass them or don't pass them, and then the amendments go to the states, and the states either ratify them or don't ratify them.
Okay,
and when 3/4 of the states have ratified an amendment, it becomes law.
Okay, because all the constitutional conventions that I've actually read about have been there were a couple, weren't there?
No, there was only one.
Because there was the. Well, what do we get for the 18th and 21st?
That was not a constitutional convention. Those were amendments passed by Congress, passed by the state.
Oh, okay.
And then ratified by the states.
Gotcha.
There's never been one since the one.
Okay.
And people are all like, oh, but what if they pass some law that makes freedom of religion illegal, or, you know, all this other stuff. And you're not, I'm like, you know, the amendment still has to get passed, ratified by 3/4 of the states. I mean, there are amendments out there that have still never been ratified.
Well, so there's a big thing to talk about. Is like, one thing I am like this is kind of threeper bullshit, but it's threeper bullshit that's one of those, like, you know, yeah, the people said the people on Ruby Ridge were paranoid, but the government did come and kill their entire family. Sort of idea is, yeah, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean you're not right. I am actually really concerned about, like, again, we've got like Hillary Clinton and all of these people running on. I mean, they're pushing all this like crazy gun control laws forward. It's not getting anywhere, but there's still just people pushing all these gun control laws. Yet, meanwhile, I can't fucking buy 22. I was in a shop the other day and I'm like, do you have any 22? Yeah, I've got some like match grade stuff that's like $50 a box.
Right.
And I'm like, no, thank you.
So I have Governor Abbott's plan right here. These are the amendments that he wants to take under the convention. One, prohibit Congress from regulating activity that occurs wholly within one state. Two, require Congress to balance its budget. Three, prohibit administrative agencies and unelected bureaucrats that staff them from creating federal law. Four, prohibit administrative agencies and the unelected bureaucrats that staff them from preempting state law. In other words, the EPA can't just make a ruling that overturns a state law. Only the Senate can do that. You know, it takes an actual law. Allow a 2/3 majority of states to override a U.S. Supreme Court decision.
That's a really good one.
Yeah. Require a 7-justice supermajority vote for the U.S. Supreme Court decisions that invalidate a democratically enacted law.
Ooh, that's also good.
Mm-hmm. Restore the balance of power between the federal and state governments by limiting the former to the powers expressly delegated to it by the Constitution.
That's crazy talk.
Give state officials the power to sue in federal court when federal officials overstep their bounds. And 9, allow 2/3 majority of states to override a federal law or regulation. And those are the ones he's listing as wanting to bring up at a constitutional convention.
Yeah, that is a lot of good shit right there. But that's what I'm saying is, like, I don't see how, like, again, going for the Second Amendment thing, which is just what I'm steeped in the most, is one of those, like, I mean, when I first started getting into shooting here in Massachusetts, I was super duper fucking quiet about being a gun owner and, like, just super incognito. I mean, that's part of the reason why I operate under a pseudonym. I mean, also, you know, since then I've acquired some stalkers and some miserable motherfuckers that have, you know, wanted to do horrible things to me and my family. So I like to you can find every bit of information about me if you look hard enough on the internet. You know, that's fine, but I don't want to make it easy by giving them a roadmap sort of idea. But the original reason why I was doing all this stuff under this was because political dissent against the government that had every power to pull my permit. you know, was not something I wanted to do. But like, I've gone from being kind of a little bit of a radical to, yeah, no, I'm not too far off. I'm still a nut, but I'm not that far off the reservation. Like, things have come through. And meanwhile, like, everybody has guns. Like, gun sales are through the roof. I mean, I guess this is getting a little bit topical, but did you guys see that video of the shooting in that was in?
1 second, weird. Breeze's got to go.
I gotta go.
Okay.
Anyway, happy 200, guys.
Happy 200.
Thanks for everything.
I think we're almost done, but
yeah, okay. Yes, we are.
Yeah,
my bladder is telling us we're done.
Yeah, but no, there was that. That shooting that the girlfriend live streamed over Facebook. Where was that? That was in
Minnesota.
Minnesota, yeah, and all that. And it was something I talked about earlier, is about the fact that like the urban blacks have got the message, and now urban blacks are carrying, you know, at rates similar to, you know, the standard sandy haired white dudes, you know, sort of thing. Was these like I've got to suspect that part of the reason why this poor man got shot, and it looks like wrongfully shot, was because he was a very stereotypically urban black guy. He was not the, you know, the, oh yeah, no, there were always, you know, there were always black dudes in the Second Amendment, but they were the coat and tie, you know, Republican voting, you know, black guys. You know, this guy looked like any other person in a predominantly black neighborhood. You know, sort of idea, and
like anyone else.
Yeah. But it used to be when you saw somebody that was, you know, dressed in the hip hop culture look, you know, I mean, there's no other better way to say it. Like, if that person said, "I got a gun," that person was probably a gang member and was carrying the gun illegally. And nowadays it's one of those, no, it's not, it's not at all. It's just the, yeah, every, you know, you don't never know who's carrying a gun. Everybody carries a gun.
Yep.
Sort of idea. So again, I don't, you know, but meanwhile, we've got these people that are like, oh yeah, no, we got to round them all up. Sort of idea. I'm really like this chasm between, you know, between this aristocracy class and the people is really troubling. And I'm wondering if it's going to lead us down a path to civil war. No, probably won't get that far.
It won't.
But something's got to give.
Well, you know, the old saying is, you know, something that can't go on won't. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like you see it in every other country where socialism rules it, you know, the country goes to shit and things collapse and that's the end of it. And we're on our way there. I mean, look at the idiocy that's coming out of California. California's, you know, if somebody was doing honest bookkeeping on California, they'd be so bankrupt it's not even funny.
You mean, yep, California, where they just passed sweeping gun control that,
right,
pretty much,
that's,
outlawed,
that's
all
what I mean,
weapons?
But, you know, and the more, you know, it's like the Princess Leia said, you know, the more you tighten your grip, the more people slip through your fingers. You know, the more they ratchet up the socialist workers' paradise, the more people say fuck this and leave.
And they go to Colorado and get magazine bans,
well,
passed there.
But my point is inevitably it fails.
But
Maggie Hassan vetoing constitutional carry in New Hampshire.
But not Jay. But let's dip in a little bit closer. Here is you mentioned the magazine ban in Colorado. Do you know the number of arrests that have been made for
illegal?
How many arrests have been made in Massachusetts for having illegal magazines? Zero. Yeah. But it's on the books.
That is true.
It's true.
Though in Massachusetts, you don't see people actively defying it in front of the police. So you've definitely got that. Again, that's another weird schism, is they managed to get that law passed.
Oh, but the SAFE Act is a perfect example of that. You've got whole county sheriffs who are like, nope, not enforcing it.
Yeah.
Nope.
Exactly, and that's the part that does get kind of scary, because you're right. I mean, it's one of those, like, supposedly pretty soon Massachusetts is going to have like a recreational marijuana law going on there. So I may suddenly live in a pot state. And I've said, everyone, I'm fully in the Elliot Ness camp. Well, what happens if marijuana becomes legal? I'll probably smoke a joint, but I wouldn't do it. I would not smoke a joint in Colorado. If I was, you know, vacationing in Colorado, I wouldn't stop at a pot shop and buy a joint, because guess what? It's still fucking illegal. Everyone there that's doing their quote unquote legal smoking of weed there is completely illegal. It's just the local cops aren't going to arrest you. It needs to be the DEA. And no, the DEA is not doing it. But again, I'm a firearms collector.
When you fill out your 4473.
Well, yes. That's an interesting question, because it says, are you an unlawful user? Well, if your state has decriminalized it,
but it's
you're not. You can truthfully answer no.
But federally.
It's still against the law federally.
True. That's true.
Just because the U.S. government doesn't have enough police power yet to go in and arrest you doesn't mean they won't.
But there's all sorts of like bullshit laws anyway. Like I believe on the Maine concealed carry form, which is the most fucked up form on the planet. It's so messed up. I believe they've got some sort of line that is similar to that line on the 4473, where they're asking if you are addicted to any illegal or legal drug, essentially get the, are you a wet alcoholic? Sort of thing in there.
Speaking thereof, I'm now, my Virginia permit now gives me Maine.
Nice.
Cool.
Well, guess what, Jay? You don't need a permit in Maine.
Is that true?
Yes.
Is that true for non-residents?
I thought so.
Look into it, because that's the new trend.
Yeah.
New trend is it's only constitutional carry for residents. The non-residents have to have permits.
How do they make that stand up?
Yeah, I don't get that. I mean, first of all, on what planet does that make sense?
Right. What other law only applies to residents of the
And
state?
I was born in Maine Medical Center in Portland, Maine. That is permanent resident status. I am a citizen of Maine. I am just in exile in Massachusetts.
Hey, I was born in Hawaii. You don't see me begging to go back to that shithole.
You're going to Kenya, aren't you?
No.
All right, guys. I got to call it a night.
Yep. Done too. We could talk another hour on this bullshit.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's not going to happen.
Well, hopefully Governor Abbott will get his council convention.
Yep.
And good night, Internet.
Good night.